Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
Welcome to the Brighton Business Show with your new presenter, Vivian Smith.
The Brighton Business Show on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
And on today's show, we'll be discussing how to boost your business bravery with two Brighton business owners. Two organisations will pitch in the business show Elevator, and we'll hear about the latest business news and events in the city. So our first guest today is Sunny Cutting, who's Events Director at Network Express.
Also,
I'd like to welcome our guest, Paul Cowland. Now, you're a personal fitness coach, aren't you, Paul?
I am indeed. Hello.
Hello. And tell me, so you're based in Brighton. Whereabouts is your studio?
My studio is right opposite Preston Park train station, so top of Claremont Road, and is actually called the train station.
How handy. Excellent. So easy to remember then. And we're also going to talk about, you know, the format of your events, Sunny. And so tell us, what's the typical format of a one-day trade show?
The format is, in the old days, or when I say old days, I'm going to say about 4 or 5 years ago, I suppose.
Yeah.
The format was that you would go to a trade show, mm-hmm. invariably you would be on your own.
Right.
At the stand.
Getting very bored.
And
eating all the company mints or whatever, yeah.
And mm-hmm. waiting for somebody to, to come over to your stand. And invariably what would happen is you would have an announcement for a speaker, and uh-huh. you wouldn't be able to leave your stand. Because you would then want to go off and listen to the speaker. So we changed the format. We turned it on its head, and we put what's now known as the Early Bird Speakers Conference.
Okay.
So we put the expo from 10 till 3, and then we put the conference from 7:45 in the morning until 9:45 to enable everybody to enjoy the experience and immerse themselves in the conference, and then bounce straight into the expo.
Great.
And that's worked really well because people's engagement time is usually a lot higher in the mornings than it is in the afternoon.
Well, that's the graveyard shift, right? So
exactly.
You don't want to be doing that.
Exactly.
And Paul?
I understand that for you, your motivation to help others feel more confident in their skin and in themselves, you know, in their bodies, it very much comes from your own personal story, doesn't it?
Absolutely. If you were to meet me, well, even 6 years ago, I was a completely different person. I was overweight. I was immobile. I had lots of back pain. I was depressive. I also probably it'd be good to say I was alcohol dependent. I was a bit of a wreck, actually.
Okay.
What happened? A really good thing happened, which was I split up with my wife, which may sound horrible, but
I like that you put a positive slant on that.
Yeah, well, we're very good co-parents now.
Excellent.
That actually gave me some focus on my life and made me realise that I wasn't really the correct role model for my children, who were young at the time, and I probably wasn't going to be around too long, given the stress levels that I was under. So honestly hitting rock bottom, there was only one way up, and I decided to get myself fit.
And I think it's really very motivating for people, isn't it, when they understand that you've been there too, because as you were describing, you know, how you are now and how you were then, I'm sure there will be a lot of people listening to the show relating to that, well, a little bit alcohol dependent, you know, and really needing to have something to get them started. Okay, and how do you think the games twist at your events helps exhibitors and attendees to have more fun and feel more confident?
I think it works really well because not everybody is your natural networker.
That's
Sometimes
true.
It's a necessary evil for some people to use networking. Some people love networking, some people loathe it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like networking 3 years ago. You wouldn't catch me networking. I was more happy in the office and let other people go networking.
Right.
Somebody said to me, you should go networking. It's how business is being done.
Mm-hmm.
So I went networking and I was hooked. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And then the irony of it is I now own two successful businesses, and one of those is Network Express, the business events company. But the game theme is like it's like an icebreaker. The
okay.
games theme acts that way because it enables you to enjoy yourself and immerse yourself in the experience without having your guard up.
I see. Okay, so it's kind of like an icebreaker or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And I know that your hashtag is Crush the Midlife Crisis. So how can you help people to do that?
I think the most important thing is once you decide... You can make a plan, but people generally go from A to D and not go through B and C. So it's really comes down to baby steps. So the first thing you can do is get your body more mobile, because you know flexibility is a pathway to strength. You can't do anything unless your body is capable of doing it, unless your central nervous system is happy with you doing that. So the big mistake is joining a gym and jumping straight on the big weights or on the cross trainer and wearing yourself out, because the body will burn out quickly and it won't allow you. So how I like to work people is empower them, to give them small, you know, easily manageable things to do.
Kind of easy steps to
get them
started.
Yeah, it's all about the baby steps. That will get you where you're going a lot quicker than trying to leap forward.
Okay, I understand. That makes sense. And because people are too busy, perhaps, with work and family to make fitness a priority, do you find that exercise falls off their to-do list? You know, I mean, how do they get the confidence to start again? What's your top tip for kind of where to begin?
Well, I mean, obviously, as a personal trainer, I'd say go and seek advice.
Of course, preferably with you, right?
Preferably with me. It would be seek advice and back to the baby steps. So seek advice, find a coach, someone that will be able to give you a program that isn't going to test you too much. So it may be just trying to get as many steps in as you can, stop driving to work, walk to work, and then you can build on that. Because like I said before, most people aren't ready to just, you know, hit the gym and work out, or they don't know what to do. So
use
your environment is the next one. If you live near steps, use the steps. Just increase your mobility, your range of walking, your distance.
Okay.
And then,
so you're kind of incorporating it into your daily life or things that you might do anyway.
Absolutely,
adding a little bit more.
Take the stairs instead of the lift.
Great.
Park further away from work and walk in. Mm-hmm. And just, start getting out there at the weekends, even take the dog for a walk, chase the kids around, you know, be more mobile.
Perfect. And I know that you have keynote speakers, Sonny, at your events. How do you go about choosing them, and what do you want them to deliver to the business people in the audience?
What we're looking for is we turn away a lot of speakers who are trying to sell their services direct to the people who are listening. What we try and get is people who have a very strong entrepreneurial spirit, and they want to talk to people about the journey that they're on, and that way people can then relate to the speaker, and that's what we
look for. So it's hearing their story then, it's hearing what got them started or what keeps them going, or you
exactly
know, and I think we're all moving away from the direct pitch, aren't we? That seems to be, again, perhaps from the bad old days of business. And so you're wanting them to inspire the audience with their stories. How do speakers get in touch with you? If someone wanted to come and perhaps be a speaker at your event, what's the process?
The easiest way is to how I do it is I go to other people's expos and conferences and exhibitions across Sussex and sometimes Surrey, Kent and Hampshire as well. And I listen to other speakers, and then if I like the person that's speaking, I then make direct contact with them and see if they would be interested to come along and speak at ours.
I see. So they're kind of hand-picked by you then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely. And Sonny, you come across as pretty confident in yourself and your product, but what keeps you up? What motivates and inspires you personally?
My family, my wife, majority, and my new twins who are 5 years of age. Well, they're not new, not per se. But
every day's a new day.
Yes. They've just gone back to school, and it's the best day of my life. Sorry, that sounds really bad. I love them to bits, don't get me wrong. But my wife has been behind me 100%. My wife worked in Brighton for 20 odd years for a debt recovery company.
Okay.
But then 8 years ago, she got multiple sclerosis. So right. That changed the whole dynamic of what we were trying to achieve.
Very challenging when
massively.
You're trying to run a business as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that innate. So when she got MS, I had to take a little bit of a step back. I couldn't run both businesses at full pelt. So my other company, Sussex Pages, is a digital marketing agency. But when you talk to people about digital marketing these days and SEO and social media, they tend to glaze over a little because there's so many companies out there. So NetXP is a brand. It's not a brand new concept. We're not reinventing the wheel. But we've added, as you alluded to earlier, we've added gamification to the core of the business. It's not just about the games aspect. It doesn't just roll on to at the expos and conferences, there's a game theme that rolls through to the website.
Okay.
So on the website, there's a game centre. So this time last year, we were sending out about 4 prizes a month. Mm-hmm. So you can click on the game centre and then download a PDF, and it will be a billiards quiz or a chess quiz or a golf right. quiz. And if you get a 70% pass rate, then we post a prize to you. Yeah. And we're sending out about 200 prizes a month. So
okay.
that gives you an idea
so
of how many people
are playing, then.
People are obviously playing.
They're
probably
obviously
a bit more.
They're wanting
yes.
to do more.
And they're
yeah.
doing it in their work time. So people obviously have a little bit more time on their hands, or they're not telling the boss, I don't know. but the great thing about it is we're going to be working with a cutting edge a learning platform company in Brighton, and they're going to be creating a proper gamification page which will enable us to have a scoreboard on the website. So then you'll get points. And what do points make?
Well, we all know that they make prizes, don't they?
There you go. So we're giving out hampers and champers at our events and things like that, but we're also working with local hotels like Mamaison in Brighton Marina, mm-hmm. and they're giving away spa days and afternoon tea for two for the exhibitors and the guests as prizes on the day. So the idea is essentially NetXP is a business events company with a twist,
okay.
and the twist is the games.
And how should people get in touch with you? Because I know you've got a big conference coming up, haven't you,
yes.
in December. Can you just tell us a little bit about that and then let us know how people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, we try to, basically, if you want to go onto the website, mm-hmm. netxp.co.uk or netxp.mobi, if you're a mobile user. And the conference at the end of the year is like a roadshow. We have 3 expos, the East Sussex Expo, the West, and then the Mid Sussex Expo. But mm-hmm. at the end of the year, we like to let other towns and cities know more about the brand, because not everybody knows who we are yet.
No. So what date is the one at the end of the year?
It's on the 6th of December.
Okay.
And we've got 7 local speakers.
Okay.
One of those, the opening keynote speaker, is Anthony Pryor. Mm-hmm. He owns the Bagel Man. And there's 6 other local speakers as well, and they're okay. all from completely different industries. We try not to have like 6 SEO people.
Well, that would just
try
be
diverse,
yeah.
really.
Yeah, sure. Well, Brighton's all about diversity, after all. I'm hearing from you that you're building confidence, you're having some fun, you're letting people play games, but also do some really serious business at the same time. And
exactly.
That sounds like a really nice mixture of everything.
And that's the idea. We started this journey 3 years ago. And when we first rolled it out at Hurst College, near where I live, people didn't get it straight away. But as mm-hmm. soon as we added in the game theme and we put it in front of people, then people started to understand what it was all about. And we worked with a lovely lady in Brighton who owns Brighton Cakes. And I set her a challenge at every event. Who doesn't like cake? So we have a cake challenge every
okay.
event. And
Fair enough.
And it's just a great experience. You know, we have so many diverse companies coming along now. The brand
sure.
is moving along at such a swift speed. I'm struggling to keep up with the demand of it, but it's a great journey to be on.
Well, good luck with this all, and
thank you.
Have fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you've just joined us, this is Vivian Smith on the Brighton Business Show, broadcasting on 97.2 FM. Would you like to get involved with the Brighton Business Show? Get in touch with your ideas, your news and events. Do you have a headline for the news section? Maybe you could come on the show. Could I report from your event? Find the Brighton Business Show on Facebook or Twitter, or contact me via the Radio Reverb website. Before you go, Paul, I mean, I asked you to choose a tune that inspires you in your work, and you chose That's Life by Frank Sinatra. What is it about that track? What does it do for you?
I find it very inspiring because I've been here for 50 years on this planet.
Okay.
And I have owned hotels and I've swept streets. So, yeah, I've been,
extreme to the other.
I've always come back.
Fantastic.
So it makes me laugh and it gives me some sort of hope.
Well, I like that. And I think, again, it's what gets you through the day or the night or whatever, isn't it? And how can people get hold of you, Paul? I mean, what's the best way to contact you?
Okay, right. Google Paul Cowland Brighton, or my website is all the W's, paulcowland.co.uk, or phone me on 07717 717299.
Thank you. And thanks for the great tips on kind of boosting people's confidence in their bodies. And obviously, as this is a business show, what difference do you think it makes for a business owner to be fit? Do you find that that's, you know, is that the crucial kind of differentiator, if you like?
Yeah, I think it's massive, really, because the more energy you can put into your business day comes from, you know, your body being able to cope with that. Focus is amazing. If, you know, even down to if you're sitting in a chair all day and your back hurts, are you really going to be able to focus on you know, that proposal or what you're trying to do? Whereas if you can...
It's not going to distract you.
If you've got your nutrition on point, you're drinking enough water, you're getting, you know, getting better sleep because you're working out the night before, less anxious, you know,
it all focuses you
and it will drive you forwards to be a better boss.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Paul Cowlin. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was Paul's choice, which was That's Life. And now we're coming on to the bit of the show that's really a bit of fun. So we're going to be pitching, or two people are going to be pitching against each other, if you like, in the business elevator. They're looking nervous now. Don't worry, it won't hurt. It's really not at all painful. Okay, so the way this works is that each of my guests are going to be telling us a little bit about the business, first of all, and then we're going to be having a chat about a bit more about the business and why you're here today, what's going on, what you'd like to tell us about. My guests are Jez Kay from the Brighton and Hove Speakers Club, and also Phil Anderson, and Phil is from Legal & General. And he's going to be talking also about some exciting project that they're sponsoring. Let's start with you, Jez. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little piece to give you an idea about how much time you've got to do this little pitch.
Okay.
The key, obviously, as you know, is to be able to be stuck in an elevator with somebody and be able to tell them in the short space of a minute exactly what you do, get them asking more, and that's what I'd like you to do now. Let's just get the music ready. And are you ready to do your pitch?
Mm.
Off you go.
There, that got your attention. The most important thing about what I'm here to say is that people need to engage. The very first thing you say, the very first thing you do is to engage. And what the Brighton and Hove Speakers Club does is help you to engage in the most various ways. From my point of view, I love it because I get to hear about loads of people's stories, and listening is just as important as speaking. So it might be called a speakers club, but I like to think of it as a listening and speakers club. That is my pitch. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And so now we're moving on to Phil. Phil, are you ready to tell us in a minute
a little bit
more about you? So just one moment. Okay, and go.
So I'm the transformation director for our institutional retirement business. The wider group is one of the most recognised and trusted names in the financial services industry. We've got more than 180 years of history and 15 million customers around the globe. But crucially, we're one of the top three employers in the Brighton and Hove area. And we're thrilled to be involved in the Brighton Digital Festival, which is taking place in September and October. And we're hopeful that will give us the opportunity to connect with local digital talent and showcase our digital innovation and digital ambitions. And we, by being part of that, we'd love people to learn more about what it is that we're setting out to do.
Fantastic. Excellent. And within time, in fact, really, you know, you've got a bit more time if you want. No, that's fine. Okay, perfect. All right. Jez, the Brighton and Hope Speakers Club is a branch of Toastmasters, isn't it?
A bunch of Toastmasters, mm-hmm. You could say that.
Yeah, okay.
Toastmasters is a global organisation that helps people to communicate in all manner of ways. And it started out as a place where people would go, for example, if they had a wedding speech to do and they were incredibly nervous and they really didn't know what to do about it. So they came along to a Toastmasters club, Brighton and Hove Speakers Club being one of those, so that they could do that particular thing. But more and more now, Toastmasters is about the art and science of communicating. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about speaking to people. It's about listening, communicating in all manner of ways. Like now, for example.
Exactly, yeah.
It kind of helps to do that kind of thing. So you can be in a radio interview feeling slightly nervous and sweaty.
So
Well, no, of course not. But yes, it's an incredibly important thing to be able to do this. And I like it because it's also quite a nice sort of social space. It's a nice place to meet people. And as I've already indicated, find out what they're at. And
sure.
Actually listening to their stories is just a fantastic privilege, really.
And how do you feel it will help people in business? Because obviously this is the business show, so...
Well, it's part of my business.
Okay.
It's mm-hmm. actually an important part of my business. I help people to communicate in large businesses and small businesses mm-hmm. in the virtual space. And that can be... nowadays, quite a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It used to be sort of written and graphical sort mm-hmm. of websites. Now it's all about a video and sound. So it's things like this, how to make radio shows, how
sure.
to make podcasts, how to do vlogging, how to do vodcasts, that kind of stuff.
So this is what you bring in with your business. And
yeah.
as a Toastmaster, what do you think, you know, how are people learning some of those skills or, you know, to get going on their journey?
Well, it all starts with being able to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And the Speakers Club is all about telling stories.
Sure.
And one of the things for me personally is that it's all very well telling people what's going on and telling people how to do it. But I've got to be able to do it myself.
Of course,
to,
yeah.
Be an example to other people.
Yeah.
So the Speakers Club has really helped me to practice what I preach.
Great. Okay, thank you. And coming on to you, Phil, I mean, I know that your organisation is one of the biggest employers in the Brighton area, isn't it? How many people do you employ and whereabouts are you based?
So we're based over near Hove Park.
Okay.
We have two offices there on one campus. We employ around 2,000 people.
Right.
From quite a diverse portfolio of different things. So we've got our retirements business there, our insurance business uh-huh. there, and various other parts of the group. And, it, you know, it's a growing hub for us and hugely important to us.
Sure. And which of the areas are you particularly involved in?
So I'm personally the transformation director for our institutional retirements business.
Okay.
So we're helping large companies or mm-hmm. medium-sized companies deal with their company pension schemes and making sure that the kind of pensions are protected and invested well for okay. The pension holders.
Okay. And why was it that you decided to get involved with sponsoring the training part, aren't you, of the Brighton Digital Festival?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, the Brighton Digital Festival is a great opportunity for us to get more closely involved in the local market, to kind of promote our brand as a digital brand just as much as a financial services brand. So that the kind of creative element, the diversity and the wide variety of different things taking place in the festival really appeals to us in terms of being able to connect with different spectrum of digital talent out there.
Sure.
Because we're a great financial services organisation, but we also acknowledge that there's a lot of stuff we need to do in terms of our innovation capabilities, and we can really reach out through the festival to a different group of people to help us fulfil that ambition.
Great. So you know it's a good fit for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what kind of people are you hoping to attract into the organisation itself?
So I mean, we want a huge diversity of people, but we want people who are kind of technical savvy, smart around what the capabilities of digital technology can do for us, different ways of working, different ways of thinking.
Yeah.
But we just want people who are really kind of focused on making a difference, because that kind of resonates and connects with our corporate purpose and everything that we're trying to do as well.
Sure. And what do you think kind of sets you apart as a, because as we said, you're a fairly major organisation. What sets you apart? I mean, obviously you're the transformation person. So what's different about you?
I think that one of the key differences for us is our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a financial services organisation, but it's also our commitment to supporting both the economy and wider society.
Okay.
So we really believe very deeply in kind of improving the lives of people across the board and throughout the country. And indeed globally, so we're continuing to grow our global presence as well. So we may be based in Brighton at the moment, but we've got global ambitions as
okay.
well. So I think it's our purpose that really connects us with our customers.
And Brighton's a pretty pretty quirky place to be, isn't it? What's it like sort of being based here rather than perhaps somewhere more serious?
Really well for us. So Brighton's a great hub for us because of that diversity of talent and the kind of creativity. So we're building a digital hub in our Brighton office because we can, you know, really attract that sort of talent locally. Of course, we have a London office as well. So the different office locations enable us to attract a really wide range of different people with different talents and skills. So that really fulfills our kind of diversity ambitions as well.
And what kind of speaking training do you give people? I mean, would it be appropriate for them to perhaps come and talk to Jez and his fellow speakers at the Brighton Hove Speakers Club?
I could see a huge opportunity there, to be perfectly honest.
Jez, what do you think?
Excellent matchmaking going on here.
Well, yes, you know,
my job swapping. It's fantastic. I think one of my personal things is because I've mixed and I've done business with a lot of different sized organisations, and more what I've noticed is that large organisations feel a need to communicate with the world at large in the way that the world at large wants to be communicated with. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of, if you like, a kinder approach, if I can say that. And one of the ways that I help them do that is to help them with things like tone of voice and actually going out and talking to them in a particular way that people will want to engage with them.
Because you're kind of using the right language.
The right language, but it's also sometimes a matter of almost feel, you know, because it can almost be a kind of a kinesthetic thing, not just I've got this to say. It's kind of people like to feel that you're empathetic with them. And feeling is quite important, particularly now. Things like emotional intelligence are bandied around as phrases, but it is becoming more and more important that people feel the right way about the way they do business. And I think that's where people like me can help with that kind of process.
And Phil, obviously you have to come on to things like this and talk about your aims and your goals and whatever. How comfortable do you feel doing that? I mean, are you a kind of one-to-one person, or do you prefer to talk, do you like working with groups or?
Hopefully I can adapt those different environments. To be honest, I just like an opportunity to talk about what it is that we're doing, what it is that we're trying to do. I believe in it really wholeheartedly, so I really feel connected to that purpose. And I think, to your point, because of that level of belief and conviction and commitment to it, I generally find it quite easy to talk in different environments.
I was going to say, your passion comes across, your enthusiasm, and that's all that people need, really, isn't
Indeed.
It, to kind of sell them. And I know, having done some Toastmasters stuff myself, Jez, would you agree that it's someone's kind of energy and enthusiasm that really, because they can make lots of mistakes, can't they, when they're speaking? And again, if someone's presenting within a business environment, but the energy and the enthusiasm will carry that through. People aren't going to, usually your audience is wanting you to do well, aren't they? So
I agree. And a bit of humour always helps well. So that helps you kind of,
particularly if something goes wrong. But I'm sure nothing goes wrong.
I think you're right as well about environment. I mean, you've kind of touched on that too. I mean, yes, absolutely. It's great to kind of be that kind of, smiling, a brilliant sort of person, but quite often it's the environment that counts as well. Mm-hmm. So being in the right environment is quite good. And that's actually is quite nice about Brighton and Hove Speakers Club, is there's always an environment where people who might otherwise feel sort of rather stiff in a kind of speaking environment, or they're used to standing at a podium or something like that, will feel that they can engage in a much more natural style. Environment is quite important as well.
Yeah, great. And I know that, as we said, Legal & General is quite it's quite a big base. So how accessible are you for clients and customers to come in?
So in our office in Hove, customers will come in. It's not a huge part of the office environment there, but we do cater for that.
Yeah.
I guess we're investing heavily in different tools to connect with both each other internally and externally. A huge part of our work in the last couple of years has been to really embrace more agile ways of working, for example, rolling out tools like Skype, etc., that help us connect with each other internally, but also, you know, with customers.
Sure.
So, for example, we generally move to a policy now where previously we might have done telephone interviews with people. We try to do them over Skype now to kind of try.
It's a bit more personal, isn't it?
It is,
if you can see someone's face.
That kind of contact at the first point, but without dragging somebody into the office if they've come from quite a long distance, because we, you know, we attract talent from quite a wide pool in terms of geographically.
That makes sense.
That works for us as well.
So good to hear that, you know, as a Brighton-based business, you're being flexible and you're kind of moving with the times, and you're looking at new talent and new ways to do things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our Ways of Working programme is absolutely about that. It's creating a more flexible working environment, creating the place where people really want to work.
Okay. And so what should people do if they want to get in touch with you, either as a potential customer or maybe of someone who really loved to work for your organisation?
Mm-hmm. So our website has all the details all the time of all the vacancies that we've got available. That's a great way to get in touch with us in the first instance. Updated all the time with all the different roles that we've got. So that's a good first point for us.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. And Jez, how about if people would like to go along to their local Toastmasters meeting, in this case, the Brighton and Hove? How often do they meet? Where do they go?
Most Toastmasters groups meet twice a month. In the case of the Brighton and Hove Speakers Club, it meets on the second and the fourth Wednesday of each month at the Brighton Hotel, which is down on the front in, strictly speaking, Hove, but it's on the cusp. Brighton and Hove.
Hove, actually.
Actually.
That's okay.
Indeed.
We can cope with Hove as well.
We can deal with that. And you can find the club at brightonandhovespeakersclub.com. Quite a mouthful. But
fantastic.
You will find it.
Thank you very much.
There's loads of great events taking place at the Brighton Digital Festival. There's some kind of creative music events, so there's some great artists performing, and there's a lot of events where people come along and learn about some of the digital initiatives. So I just encourage everybody to look at the Brighton Digital Festival website, look at the event schedule and see if there's something that resonates well with them.
It's on for the best part of a month.
Best part of a month, yeah. Mm-hmm. It culminates in, there's an event called Think Nation, which is, a kind of a mentoring initiative for young people. Mm-hmm. I'll be a mentor at that event, so it'll be great to see other people there, but I think it's a really exciting concept. So some groups of young people will get together and effectively come up by the end of the day and present to the media a technical solution to a societal challenge that they've been set.
Sounds intriguing.
It sounds really exciting. I'm absolutely excited to be part of that. But, you know, generally in terms of the festival, come along to the events, show your support locally, and, you know, we'd love to see you there.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Thanks to both of you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jez, next time you come on, perhaps you'll tell us a little bit more about your business as well.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
Thank you.
If you've just joined us, this is Vivian Smith on the Brighton Business Show, broadcasting on 97.2 FM. Radio Reverb. Here's some news and more events from around Brighton and Sussex. The Brighton Digital Festival is taking place currently until the 13th of October. It celebrates the richness and the creative and cultural industries of the city and explores the ways in which digital technology continues to shape our lives and our thinking. For all events and details, go to brightondigitalfestival.co.uk. Green business Tiny Box Company is putting on a not-for-profit eco-waste event in Brighton in November. Many companies are still delivering goods in unnecessary amounts of packaging and with restrictions on what can be recycled. It can be difficult for consumers. Rachel Watkin, founder and managing director of Tiny Box, said, "We decided to put on an event to talk about the waste cycle from manufacturer to consumer. As well as this, it's also an opportunity for businesses and consumers to really get to grips with this pressing issue and make a difference." The event will be held at the Bright Helm Centre on Thursday, November the 1st. Tickets are free and available for booking before the day. Brighton SEO, which is a huge search marketing conference and training event, comes to the Brighton Centre on the 27th and 28th of September. One of the many expert speakers is Meg Fenn from Shake It Up Creative, who will be talking about how to use stunning design to leverage your SEO. On the 29th of September, Mumpreneurs founders Sarah Guile and Nikki Chisholm, themselves multiple business awards winners, we'll be running a two-hour workshop on how to win awards. Tickets are £24 per person, and all the ticket fees will go to Sussex charities. And here's an interview that Natasha recorded last month with Samantha Dawkins.
So I'd like to welcome Samantha Dawkins to the Reverb Studio. Samantha is a partner at Edward Hart Solicitors, and she recently won Lawyer Monthly's Women in Law Award 2018 for property litigation. Welcome to the studio, Samantha.
Thank you. I want to
hear more about this. Now, you've had a very successful case in the Supreme Court. What was it about?
Our client is MWB, and they operate serviced office space. And Rock Advertising took out a license agreement, and for that they had to pay license fee. They fell into arrears, so MWB recovered possession and then issued a claim for those arrears of license fees. Rock defended that claim on the basis that they'd reached a verbal agreement with one of MWB's members of staff that they could pay these arrears by instalments and remain. MWB relied on a clause in the contract which says that this contract could only be varied if it was in writing and signed by both parties. Ultimately, the Supreme Court upheld that clause in the contract, which meant that the oral agreement that had been reached between the parties was not binding. Mm. The basis was that thinking behind that decision was that that clause, it doesn't stop parties varying contracts, but it provides the method by which any variation needs to follow in order for it to be effective.
Wow. So it sounds like quite a complex process to reach that decision. Yet, obviously, if you've got a clause like that in a contract that says it has to be by written agreement, why would they ever have thought it had to be a verbal agreement? I don't quite understand.
Because that point has never actually been tested right. in that higher court before. So that will now go down as legal precedent. There is various other reasons why you can go behind what's written in a contract, which, you know, is quite complex. Yes. But essentially, that point of law has never been tested before.
So that was where you really made your name, because now that's in casebook history.
It is, yes.
But well done. Fantastic work.
Thanks very much.
And so you're winning multiple awards for this. But what does this kind of decision mean for businesses renting out or operating from service office space? Does it make any difference to them? Or?
It actually affects all businesses.
Yeah.
Because it goes across all contracts. It's not limited to the property arena.
So that's why it's so important.
Yes, effectively. So I think it should be viewed as a positive decision. It gives certainty to business owners, because they know that if they have a clause in their contract which says it can only be varied in writing and or signed, then oral agreements which members of staff could inadvertently enter into will not be upheld by the court. There is, of course, an exception to every rule, but it's very, very limited circumstances. So essentially, I think the headline is it provides certainty to businesses.
That's really interesting. And generally speaking, in terms of, you know, property especially, what should businesses be looking out for in contracts? What are the pitfalls? What should they be asking? What should they have their eye to?
So some businesses have office spaces under license agreements. I think what you need to look at is really closely the term of that agreement, and also whether it automatically renews. And if it does it automatically renew for the 12 months that you had it before, or is it on a rolling month to month? What are your termination rights and things? Just look at those things closely, and obviously the amount of the level of the license fees. Obviously, other businesses take out commercial leases. When you take out a commercial lease, most of them are full repairing leases. What that means is that you not only have to look after the inside, but actually the fabric of the building. So when you take out the lease, get a schedule of condition done, because at the end, the freeholder will get a schedule of dilapidations, and you need to be able to compare the two. Mm. Otherwise, you could face a huge bill if you can't say, well, hold on a minute, that roof was already like that. So yes, that's my big tips with those commercial leases.
Take great care and pay
yes.
good attention and get
yes.
it all documented.
Yeah, and get a surveyor to do a proper schedule of condition at the beginning.
Fantastic advice. So in terms, I mean, we haven't had a legal specialist on the business show while I've been presenting, so we're going to take this opportunity to pick your brains a bit further, if you don't mind.
No.
So in what other areas should businesses be taking legal advice? Can you give some examples?
I think for businesses, it's really important to try and, you know, make sure your terms and conditions and contracts are dealt with. In my experiences, businesses come unstuck with terms and conditions because they either don't have any or they don't have ones that have been drafted specifically for them. So they're not quite sufficient. So I think my two biggest tips would be, now following that case, make sure you have a clause in there that, you know, that any variation has to be in writing. And secondly, have a clause that says that if there are any breaches of that contract or terms and conditions, that your legal fees are recoverable in taking enforcement action. Mm. This is important, particularly for perhaps smaller businesses, because the small claims limit is £10,000. So any claim that is £10,000 or under, legal fees are not recoverable, and generally speaking, unless you have a contractual right to them. So if you stick a clause in your terms and conditions which says that you have, then claims that are under £10,000, you'll be able to instruct solicitors and have some legal help and be able to represent. And you know that if you win, you're going to get your legal costs back.
So that's really useful for small businesses whose contracts are probably mostly under the 10 grand
exactly.
mark.
Yeah, and also, you know, unpaid invoices, they can amount to a lot less than 10,000. £10,000 is actually quite a big claim, but for small, but it's not for small claims. So,
yeah, absolutely. And can you give some examples of where small companies have come unstuck? Have you got any actual cases you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing where I found that people have come unstuck is that they don't have the provision for the legal fees. So when they're chasing unpaid invoices, they amount to sort of £5,000. So the legal fees are going to effectively come up to nearly what the claim is worth. That's the main...
Well, that's how I always see it. I always think, oh, there's just going to be no point in pursuing that because it's going to, the legal costs will just outstrip it. So I just let things go. But probably I could be more proactive, and that's really good advice.
Yeah.
And what should companies look for in terms of a good business solicitor? What are the questions they should be asking?
I think the biggest question they need to be asking their business solicitor is, how can I protect my business? And I think the answer to that is that you have your terms and conditions, you have your solicitor look over your contracts, because contracts with business to consumer are very different from business to business. You can't have the same one for both. Get them to look at your policies and procedures, so your health and safety policies, your internal procedures, your staff procedures, data protection. We've all heard about those massive changes this year, the GDPR changes. The biggest change that's come in with that is really that you now have to document that you comply with data protection. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to show you've done that. Website terms and conditions, make sure they're all done properly. And I think you can't remove all risk that you're going to end up in a dispute, but you can significantly reduce the scope for any argument, because the court's first port of call will always be what's written down. If you haven't got anything written down, massive scope for problem. If you've got something written down, it's going to limit it.
Excellent advice. Thanks ever so much for coming in, Samantha. And Samantha Dawkins, partner at Edward Hart Solicitors. Excellent advice. Thanks ever so much for coming into the Reverb studio. And carry on winning these awards.
Thank you very much for your time.
Well
Thank
done.
You.
Bye.
Radio Reverb.
97.2.
Radio Reverb.
Would you like to get involved with the Brighton Business Show? Get in touch with your ideas, your news and events. Do you have a headline for the news section? Maybe you could come on the show. Could I report from your event? Find the Brighton Business Show on Facebook or Twitter, or contact me via the Radio Reverb website. So I'd like to say a big thank you to the guests who joined me in the Radio Reverb studio today: Paul Cowland, Sunny Cutting, Jess Kay and Phil Anderson. And also, of course, to Samantha Dawkins, who came in earlier to talk to Natasha. The show will be aired on the third Sunday of the month at 2 p.m, the following Wednesday at 10 a.m, and the following Friday at 7 a.m. for the early birds. You can listen to or download the podcast on iTunes or via the Brighton Business Show podcast. So you've been listening to Vivian Smith on the Brighton Business Show, broadcasting on 97.2 FM. Thank you very much for listening, and see you again next time.